Well, I think most of us have enjoyed a nice Thanksgiving and a lovely day and good food on Thursday. And at this Thanksgiving time, I was just praying about it and just felt to speak on the subject of Thanksgiving this morning. I know it's a familiar subject, but sometimes the familiar subjects we need to be reminded of. And I think it's a wonderful time to have a holiday, remembering, thanking, you know, Thanksgiving and thanking the Lord for his blessing and what he's done. In fact, I think America and Canada are the only countries that I know of that actually have, you know, a set aside time for Thanksgiving and special Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving Day. We don't have it in New Zealand or Australia, and it's a wonderful thing to do. Here in the United States, the modern Thanksgiving holiday is commonly traced to a poorly documented document in 1621, celebrated in Plymouth, which is in present-day Massachusetts. And the 1621 Plymouth Feast and Thanksgiving was prompted by a good harvest. Pilgrims and Puritans who began immigrating from England in the 1620s and 1630s carried the tradition of days of fasting and days of thanksgiving with them to New England. Several days of thanksgiving were held in early New England history that have been identified as the first Thanksgiving, including pilgrim holidays in Plymouth in 1621-1623 and a Puritan holiday in Boston 1631. As President of the United States, George Washington proclaimed the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America, which was November 26th in 1789, as a day of thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of God Almighty. A heart of thanksgiving, it's one of the most powerful keys to experiencing the life, the presence, and the blessing of God in our lives. And thanksgiving is a powerful means of transforming ourselves, our circumstances, and bringing heaven to earth. Thankfulness is the eternal health of the soul. And, you know, we are often so quick to forget, you know, what the Lord has done for us. And, you know, it's so easy just to focus on our problems, on our difficulties, on the situations we're facing, on the routine of life, and, you know, take our eyes off the Lord and forget to give thanks and have a thankful attitude. In the 1860s in England, there was a ship that sank, and that ship was the Spencer Edwards. And there's a man on shore who was just, it was a storm at sea, and there was this ship that hit the rocks, I think, and then it sank just off the coast of England. And there was a man on shore. He was a Bible school student. And so it was rough and it was stormy. But anyway, he swam out. And he rescued one lady. And then he went back again. And he rescued someone else. And he ended up rescuing 17 people from that ship. It was a absolutely heroic effort. You know, he risked his life. In fact, he nearly died himself. Nearly died himself. His health was broken. And Many years later, he was asked about his remembrance about this heroic rescue which he had accomplished. And he replied this. He said, "Of the 17 I rescued, not one returned to thank me." 17 people, they were saved. They would have died. They would have drowned. They would have lost their lives if it was not for this man. And not one of them who were rescued returned to thank him. And, you know, naturally, the human heart is not a thankful heart. Human nature. Jeremiah 17 verse 8 tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. And so, you know, we need to learn to have a thankful heart. We need, you know, as parents, to teach our children to be thankful. And we see in familiar passage in Luke's Gospel in chapter 17, and that's the story of the 10 lepers, Luke's Gospel chapter 17, and we see in this little story how much it touches the heart of God. And Jesus healed these 10 lepers. He healed these 10 lepers. And he told them to go and to show themselves to the priest. And only one of them, after they'd been healed, one of them came back to thank the Lord. And we read in Luke 17 and verse 15 to 19, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his feet, giving him thanks. And it tells us he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Are there not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger?" And so the implication was that the other 9 were Jews, and the one who gave thanks, the one who returned to give thanks, was not even a Jew. He was a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. But he returned to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." Thy faith has made thee whole. And it was as if thanksgiving, because he was thankful. He was thankful. Because he was thankful, it released faith, and the faith made him whole. And so the one who gave thanks was made whole, not just in body as the others, but also in his soul, in his spirit. And so of the 10, 9 of them, they were healed in their body. But one of them was made whole. And he was made whole, body, soul, and spirit. And he was fully healed. And, you know, we see in this little story, familiar story, common story, but we see how much thankfulness means to God. We see how much thankfulness touches the heart of God. We see thankfulness releasing faith. We see, because of thankfulness, when we are thankful, it opens the way for God's hand to come upon us, for God to answer prayer, for God's blessing to be upon our lives. One of the keys to having a thankful heart is, you know, to focus on the good and to remember the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us. Instead of focusing on the problems or on the difficulties. And in Psalm 103, and in the psalm, we see David, and King David, he was a man after God's own heart. And one of the reasons that he was a man after God's own heart is because he was thankful. He was thankful. And as he pens this beautiful psalm in Psalm 103, we see in verse 2, we just see there, just bless his heart just bursting forth in thankfulness and in praise to God. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. And so David is, he's urging the nation of Israel not to forget God's love, God's care, God's miracles, God's provision. He reminds them of where they had come from. You know, they'd been slaves in Egypt for several hundred years. They were in bondage. But the Lord redeemed their lives from destruction. And thus they should be eternally grateful and use their freedom to serve, you know, the true and the living God. You know, we, all of us, we have so much to be thankful for. And especially spiritually, for the precious gift of salvation. I mean, when you think of it, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord and becoming a Christian, it means for all eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you know, we are with the Lord. I mean, how can we thank God? To think that without the Lord, without the cross, without what Jesus had done for us and shedding his blood, we'd be in a Christless eternity. We'd be in hell forever and ever and ever, for all eternity. Because the wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners. Eternal death. But because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of his blood that was shed, because he left the glory of heaven and came to earth, and because, you know, we have turned from sin. We've repented. We've asked Jesus into our hearts. We're born again. And we have eternity in heaven with Christ forever and ever and ever. I mean, how thankful, how thankful, how thankful we should be. Thankful for the precious gift of salvation. Thankful because of what Jesus loved us. He died for us. He obtained forgiveness for our sins. We no longer need to spend eternity of unspeakable suffering and terror in hell. You know, we should be so thankful for his gift of eternal life and eternally grateful for what he's done in the area of salvation and many other spiritual blessings, you know, that he's given to us. And even in the natural, you know, in the natural, we have so much to be thankful for. And I know even in America, America is changing. There is poverty in America. There are poor people in America. There are homeless people in America. And that is very true, very true. But my wife and I, we've lived in India, you know, for 13 years in India. And, you know, cities like Calcutta, just the massive cities, 15, 18 million or so, and, you know, just thousand upon thousand, block after block after block of just little shacks, bits of tin, bits of cardboard, no electricity, no sewage, no lighting, and literally, not hundreds, thousands, you know, millions even, living in just absolute squalor. And, you know, we saw people, you know, there, people basically born on the streets, grow up on the streets, take their bath on the streets, die on the streets, and, you know, terrible, terrible poverty. And so many, even in the world today, I mean, they don't have enough, they don't even have, you know, enough food to satisfy them. They don't have three meals a day. And yet, we have so much. We have so much. compared to much of the world. We live a comfortable life without experiencing any of these things. And, you know, when we live as we live, it's so easy just to take for granted the blessings of daily provision, the blessings of food, the blessings of a roof over our heads. And, you know, God wants us to be those who are continually thankful and continuing to be thankful. You know, God has been so good to each one of us, and he wants us to constantly have an attitude of thanksgiving, and to be a thankful person and expressing to him our gratitude for all that he is, for all that he's done. Expressing to God, but also expressing to one another and expressing to others, you know, our thankfulness, our gratitude for different things, for many things that are done for us or on our behalf. And David, that was one of the things that I'm sure drew the Lord to David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was thankful. He was so thankful. And, you know, those verses in Psalm 103, we just see a heart. David was just full of thankfulness, and it sort of just gushed out of him. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, everything that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his name. He wants to thank him and to bless him and to praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And so he just expressed, you know, his thankfulness to God. He was so grateful to the Lord for what he had done. And we can see David was writing from a heart just overflowing with thankfulness to God for all that he had done. And, you know, we want to be those like David, who will, you know, be thankful to the Lord, thankful to one another. Now, of course, the opposite of thankfulness is ingratitude, those who are not thankful. Imagine that, being saved from certain death, and people being so hard-hearted that they didn't even return to thank that person for rescuing them. That was the problem, basically, with the children of Israel in the wilderness. God, they saw miracles. They saw God do wonderful things. They saw God part the Red Sea. They walked across the Red Sea on dry land. They came into the Promised Land. God continued to do miracles. They had no water. And Moses hit the rock. Water gushed out. Their thirst was quenched. They had no food. God provided manna, which came down from heaven. Their stomachs were full. And yet, after seeing the miracles, after all God did for them, what did they do? They were unthankful. They complained. They murmured. After seeing the mighty power of God, after seeing his judgments upon the Egyptians, after seeing all God's miraculous provision for them in the wilderness, yet in spite of all this, they murmured. They complained against their leaders, especially Moses. We read in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, not just one or two, but it says the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They murmured. There was no gratitude. There was no thankfulness. They complained about the manna that God had miraculously provided for them because they were lusting after the leeks, the onions, the garlics of Egypt. They complained about the problems. They complained about the difficulties of their circumstances. And they complained. They spoke about the giants in the land. They complained about the desert. And basically, it was a general attitude of ingratitude, unthankfulness, unbelief. And the result of that, they never entered into the inheritance, but they perished in the wilderness. I mean, that is sobering, isn't it? That is sobering because they were not thankful, which resulted in murmuring, complaining. They didn't enter into the purpose of God for their lives. And it's possible for us. It's possible for us to be saved, to be baptized in water, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to even read our Bible. But if we don't have a thankful heart, if we don't have a thankful heart, if there's murmuring and complaining in our lives, we're not going to hit the mark God has for our lives. We're not going to fulfill the calling God has for us. We're not going to enter into that inheritance that God has for our life. We're not going to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. And sadly, the children of Israel, they did not get into their inheritance. And we can work it out. It was something like from Kadesh Barnea, when they went in and when they came back and the ten spies, they spoke about, they murmured, they complained about the giants. They said, we can't go up. And since that, from that time until they entered in, the children of Israel, the new generation entered in under Joshua 38 years later, there's something like approximately an average of about 108 people who died, who perished in the wilderness, 108 people every day who died in the wilderness. And they were buried there in the sand in the wilderness. Every single day for 38 years, more than 100 people. Why? Because of unthankfulness. Because of unthankfulness, they murmured. In Numbers 14 and verses 26 on, it reads there, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I be with this evil generation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upwards, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And that, you know, because of that, they did not enter into their inheritance. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. But it can be the same today. If we are not thankful, we will not enter into the purposes of God for our lives. And one of the signs of the last days, and Paul writes about this when he's writing his letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. And it speaks there of being unthankful. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Verse 1, Paul says, in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And today there's so many people who are not thankful, They won't forgive. Their hearts filled with bitterness, unforgiveness. And bitterness, you know, a root of bitterness, it will defile many. It'll defile many. And if we're not thankful, that can end up in a root of bitterness, many being defiled. And so the Apostle Paul is clear. This is one of the signs of the last days, unthankful. And that's why Paul, when he writes to the new Christians in Thessalonica, I mean, he'd only been there 3 weeks, three Sabbath days. He preached to them. Persecution arose. He had to flee, and he went to Corinth. He went down to Athens, and when he writes his epistle to the Thessalonians, he says to them, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, an important verse. In everything, he says, in everything, give thanks. Everything. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Good verse to memorize. You know, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when we learn to be thankful to the Lord, when we learn to give thanks in all situations, it will keep us from becoming bitter. Bitter with God, bitter with others. And, you know, if we're thankful, we will forgive. We will not become bitter. We won't be offended. Thankfulness is such an important key. And it's sobering to consider that if we're not thankful, we're not going to get very far in our prayer life. Because thankfulness is one of the key ingredients in prayer, is a key area in prayer. We must learn to be thankful in everything, for the good things, but even for the difficult things, for the hardships, for the trials, for the calamities that may come, for the crises. We can be thankful for these things. Because, you know, if our life is truly surrendered to the Lord, there can be assurance deep within, not just a knowledge in our head, but a knowledge within our hearts, within our spirits, that all things, no matter what they are, all things, including the difficult things, the calamities, the crises, all things can work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, a very familiar scripture, Romans 8:28, but a very important scripture. And, you know, God wants these verses, which are, I know they're very familiar, and I know that you've heard these things many times before. But there's something, you know, sometimes we've got something in our head, but somehow it hasn't got to our heart, and somehow, you know, in our lifestyle, what our attitude, our lifestyle, are we fulfilling it? Are we a thankful people? Are we constantly, you know, giving thanks, you know, to the Lord, to one another? And the Apostle Paul, often when he began his epistles, and he wrote many epistles. He's the great author of the New Testament, much of the New Testament. But often when he wrote to the churches, some of these churches, he established himself, he would write to them. And often before he got into all the problems, and there were problems, there were serious problems, but often before he got into addressing those things, he would thank God. And he would thank God for the believers. In Romans 1 verse 8, he wrote, first of all, not second, not third, not last, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. So he spoke of the Romans, and he spoke of their faith, and he commended them, and he was thankful for them. When he writes to the Corinthians, And he went to the Corinthians. He, in his second missionary journey, started a strong church there. And then in his epistle to them, he writes to them, and then they got into the major problems in the church. But he began that epistle by thanking God for them. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And, you know, there were serious problems in that Corinthian church. But he does not start by, you know, going to the problem. There were things that were commendable, that were good. And he writes to them and he's expressing thankfulness and gratitude for them. And he began, as it were, looking for areas in which he could thank them and thank God for them. Ephesians 1 verse 15, Paul spoke to the church at Ephesus. And he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you. Cease not to give thanks. I mean, that's quite a statement. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is praying. He's crying out to the Lord for these Ephesian believers. And he begins by giving thanks to God for them. When he writes to the Philippians, Philippians 1 verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, he gave thanks to them. Do we give thanks, you know, we can give thanks, you know, for, you know, different ones, our brothers and our sisters. We can give thanks, you know, for the missionaries that God has sent out through Zion Fellowship. There's many things and many people that we can give thanks for. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, Paul says about the Thessalonians, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the charity or the love of every one of you towards each other, it aboundeth, it aboundeth. And so, in our times of prayer, we don't want to be too quick just to, Lord, I need this, Lord, I need that, Lord, we need, and bring out all our petitions and our needs without first coming to the Lord with a thankful heart. And, you know, it's easy to come to prayer overwhelmed with requests to the Lord, with crises, things that are happening. So, you know, it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget in the midst of a difficult trial. It's easy to forget what God has done for us. And so, by the grace of God, rather than jumping straight into telling the Lord our problem, our need, you know, it's a good practice to begin our time of prayer, you know, thanking the Lord for who he is, thanking the Lord for what he's done, thanking the Lord for our brothers and sisters, our family, our loved ones. We need to remember what God has done for us and come into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 and verse 4, another very familiar scripture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. In the Amplified version, it puts it like this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say to him, bless and affectionately praise his name. And we want to remember the Lord. We want to thank him for the spiritual blessings, the natural blessings. You know, shelter, our families, our loved ones, food, salvation, forgiveness, being filled with the Holy Spirit, way God has answered prayer many times before. Oh, the goodness of God, the goodness of God, the blessing of God. You know, the Lord, he knows you know, what is best for us. And God's goodness, you know, has been shown toward us in so many ways. If we do not come into his presence with thanksgiving, then our prayers are going to be hindered. Our prayers are going to be limited. And that's why Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he says, again, a very familiar scripture, be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. In other words, our prayer is to be mixed with thanksgiving. Our prayer is to be interwoven with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And as we bring our request with thanksgiving, then we have the promise of verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A key to faith is thanksgiving. Jesus said to that leper who came back, he said, thy faith. He came back and he gave thanks. Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. But also a key to peace is thanksgiving. And here it says in verse 6, when our prayer is mixed with thanksgiving, then it says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That wonderful peace of God. That's something that Satan cannot counterfeit. It's something that only comes from God. No psychologist, no psychiatrist can give us that peace. Only it is from the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's so great, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So here we see peace linked with thanksgiving. And these are keys to receiving the peace of God. We all want to know that peace of God, that we don't worry, we're not anxious. We have peace before the Lord. And of course, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We come to him. And so, by the grace of God, we want to be thankful, because without thankfulness, our prayers will be greatly limited. John Hyde, he was one of a British missionary to India in the early 1900s, and he was known as the Apostle of Prayer. And he prayed through the night, and many marvelous testimonies of answers to prayer. But in his early days in India, his prayer life was not very strong. And at that time, John Hyde, he came into contact. There was another, a certain Indian pastor there who he was working with. And this Indian pastor seemed to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And his heart seemed to be cold towards the Lord. And John Hyde was, you know, working closely with this pastor. And so often he would start off complaining to the Lord about this other pastor, saying, you know, how difficult it was to work with him. And it was about the time the Lord taught him a very solemn lesson, and the sin of fault finding, even in prayer for others. And he was weighed down with the burden of prayer for this Indian pastor. And so he retired to his inner chamber, and he was praying, and he was thinking of this pastor's coldness and consequent deadness of his church. And he began to pray, Oh God. And he was going to say, you know how cold his heart is. But then he was just rebuked by the Spirit of the Lord. And he didn't utter those words. And he had a voice in his ear. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, he that touches him touches the apple of mine eye. And John Hyde, he cried out in sorrow. He said, forgive me, Father, in that I've been an accuser of the brethren before thee. And he realized in God's sight, you know, he must look at That scripture in Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are worthy of praise. Think on those things. And that scripture, you know, came to mind. And he was shown that the true, whatsoever things are true of this verse are limited to what are both, you know, lovely and true. That the sin of God's children is fleeting. It is not the true nature of God's children. But we should see them as they are in Christ Jesus, complete what they shall be. Anyway, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart to look for something good in that Indian pastor. And, you know, he had a bit of a difficulty, but then the Lord spoke to him. Yes, that man was very generous. And so when he prayed for that Indian pastor, he began to thank God for him, and he thanked him. Not for all the negative things, but he thanked God for his generosity and other good qualities he saw in his life. And the result of that is, you know, God moved in quite an extraordinary way, and God began to change him, and the fire of God began to burn in his heart, and his coldness left, and his lukewarmness left, and he became on fire for God. And the end of the matter was that that missionary John Hyde and that Indian pastor became the closest of friends in the ministry and working together in the work of God. And it started in the prayer life of John Hyde. Instead of complaining about the missionary, he gave thanks, to give thanks and give thanks even for those good qualities, in his life. That scripture that I mentioned before, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, you know, is a very powerful scripture. In everything, give thanks. You know, in the good and in the not so good. In the trials and the difficulties, in the great times. In everything, give thanks. And we all will go through difficulties, disasters, trouble. And there'll be times when we don't feel like giving thanks. And what, you know, what will help us to give thanks in difficulties is the understanding that when our lives have been fully surrendered to him, there are no circumstances that happen by chance. You know, all things are working together for good. And so we need to be thankful, not only when we have plenty, not only when we have money in our pocket and we have the provisions and the blessings of this life, but we need to be happy in the midst of difficulties and trials and to give thanks. And Psalm 102 in verse 17. In fact, that verse begins, that psalm begins, it begins, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." In verse 1. And then in verse 17, it tells us there about coming to the Lord with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's also mentioned in Jeremiah. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. So there's times, basically what it's saying, when it's difficult to thank the Lord, that we offer a sacrifice. They had in the Old Testament, it was a literal sacrifice. It was a lamb, it was a goat, it was a bullock. But we are, in the times, we are to make a sacrifice. And one of those sacrifices is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And one time, many years ago, I was in Indonesia before I was married. And I've been traveling, I've been preaching, I've been traveling, and I got on a train, and I've been very tired already, been on a bus trip and been traveling. It was hot and sticky and dirty. I got on the train, and I think I missed the train, so I got in another one. It was packed full, and I couldn't even sit down, just standing room only. And the train was from one end of Java to the other end, and I just got so tired, I just got so exhausted that I thought of the beggars on the streets and the people I'd seen on the streets, no home to live in. And I'd seen them before. My heart went out to them. I felt real pity and compassion on them. But this time when I was on this train and I was standing up and I was so exhausted, it was the middle of the night, and I thought, well, how lucky those people were, because they could at least, you know, lie down and stretch out their legs. And I was so tired. I just couldn't stand up anymore. So I just went down, and then I tried to lie down. And literally, it was just a wooden floor. It was a dirty floor. It was a wooden floor. And my head was against somebody's leg, and I was, my whole body was up, and my knee was all up like this, because there wasn't room to stretch it out and touching somebody else's leg. And I was like that. And then I thought, how lucky those people on the street were that they could stretch out their legs. And I can remember I was murmuring and complaining to the Lord. There was no attitude of thankfulness. And just suddenly, I was complaining in my heart. But suddenly that scripture jumped out. Just God just quickened it. It was like a rhema to me. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It was the last thing I felt like doing. But anyway, I did it. And I gave thanks. And I can remember my circumstances didn't change for some time, but I can remember a joy just sort of welling up from within my heart, welling up, welling up, welling up. And I was just so full of the joy of the Lord. And anyway, some people eventually got off the train, and then I was able to get a seat and sit down. Then I was able to get to the missionary's house and had a shower and some food, and all was well again. But there is a key in thankfulness, the offering up that sacrifice of praise. And just in closing, you know, we are called, each one of us, to be a thankful people. Thank God. Thank one another. And especially in the homes. You know, wives, thank God for the things your husband does. Husbands, thank God for your wives. And don't just thank them in their heart. Express it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Children, thank God for your parents. Thank God for one another. Be a thankful people by the grace of God.